All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 13, for the message this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And I want to begin reading in verse 18, and if you will follow along as I read. Beginning in verse 18, John chapter 13 and verse 18. Jesus says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, that ye may believe that I am he. So Jesus said, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody sitting at this table, they're at the Last Supper, they're at the communion, at the Passover feast, in the upper room, and Jesus said that it might be fulfilled, and it was written in prophecy that one eating at the table would lift his hand against the Lord. Of course, he's speaking of Judas. And so he says in verse 19, I tell you this now so that after it happens, you will realize that I am who I claim to be. Okay, so that's what that is saying. All right, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Sounds like a bunch of New Testament Christians, doesn't it? All right, everybody looking at one another saying, I bet it's him. All right, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Who is going to betray you? Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. A sop is a piece of bread where you pull the bread off of the loaf and then dip it in the olive oil and the spices, and that in the vinegar and the spices, the vinegar and the olive oil. And so that's a sop. It's a morsel. And he said, when I have dipped it, I will hand it to the person who shall betray me. And it says, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag. Now that means he had the money. He carried the purse, the collection. And so some thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, the Passover, or that he should give something to the poor. And here's my text now, verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. All right, he went out immediately, and then John adds, and it was night. All right, let's pray. And I want to speak to you this morning a message entitled, The Night That Knew No Morning. The Night That Knew No Morning. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now your blessings upon the message. thank you for the Bible, and I pray your blessings upon it as we look at it this morning. I pray that you will help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. And Father, I pray that you will bless the Word of God as only you can. And may it produce fruit in somebody's life today. May we all be encouraged and strengthened by what we hear. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to speak to you tonight out of the Gospel of Mark on a message I'm going to entitle The Night of the Tempest. Mark 4 tells us about a storm out on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to take that story and preach The Night of the Tempest. This morning, I want to speak to you about another night. And I'm going to call the message this morning, The Night That Knew No Morning. Because as far as Judas Iscariot was concerned, this was a night that knew no morning. Judas did not make it through the night. He went out, you remember, and hung himself and died because of what he had done to the Lord Jesus Christ. So far as this world is concerned, the night in question here was probably one of the longest nights this world has ever seen. So much happened on this night. All over the city of Jerusalem on this night, there was activity. The Lord Jesus had been early in the evening with his disciples in the upper room. And they, of course, were observing the Passover. And it was here where before they ate the meal that the Lord Jesus took a basin and a towel and washed the disciples' feet. And then the Bible says they had the Passover. And then the Lord served them the Last Supper. The communion before they left. And then you remember that he gave them the bread and he gave them the cup and he told them to remember him and to continue to remember him by observing the Lord's table until the day comes when he would serve them the Lord's table in heaven. Now, while that was happening on one side of Jerusalem, on the other side of Jerusalem, Judas was meeting with the Sanhedrin. He started out over here with the Lord and the other disciples, but then, as we read here in our text, he left, and he is now over on the other side in the house of Caiaphas, meeting with the Sanhedrin and betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. For 30 pieces of silver, the Bible says, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. And once the agreement was made, and once Judas had his money, he then led the soldiers to where the Lord Jesus was and betrayed our Savior with a kiss on his cheek. Now the night was already full of activity. All this was going on. The supper and the Lord's Supper, the communion, and then the washing of the disciples' feet, and then the walking across the city to the Garden of Gethsemane. And once they got there, the arrest. But it was about to get much longer. It was about to get much longer, for we read in the Bible that the Sanhedrin would keep the Lord Jesus awake through the night with their unlawful interrogation and with the beatings that he had to endure. Now, folks, listen, one thing about the night, the sun does eventually come up. We all know that when you're sick, you loathe the nighttime. It seems like the night when you're sick, it seems like the night just goes on forever and ever. But the sun eventually does come up, does it not? And it did on this night as well. After what seemed like the longest night in mankind's history, the sun did come up. But for one man involved in the story, this was the night that knew no morning. You see, Judas left the supper in the upper room, and even though he knew that the Lord Jesus knew what was in his heart, he ran straight to the high priest with his offer to betray Jesus. And once the transaction was done, and he had the money in hand, and Jesus was arrested, Judas then came back to the Sanhedrin, and he threw the money across the floor, wishing that he could undo what he had done. But Judas, there are some things that once they are done, they cannot be undone. The deed was done, and Jesus was just hours from death. So we are told in the Bible that when the priest refused to take the money back, that Judas went out and hung himself. Now think of this, folks. In the same place where just a few hours earlier Jesus had prayed among the olive trees of Gethsemane, Judas tied a rope around a limb and took his own life. In the darkness of the early morning hours, where Jesus shed tears of blood and where Judas planted a traitorous kiss upon his cheek, and where for the last time Jesus called Judas a friend, Judas went out and hung himself. One of his fellow disciples said a little later in the book of Acts about Judas that he went unto his own place, the place of his own choosing and of his own desire. Not the place that the Lord Jesus wanted for him, but the place that he chose for himself. And this dreadful place to which he went in spite of the warnings and in spite of the appeals of his master. We are told in the text in verse 30 that Judas went out immediately, and it was night. That is the way in which John brings to a conclusion his account of this tremendous drama that unfolded on this fateful night. This was the night that knew no morning for Judas. The night when a soul rejected the last overtures of Christ's divine mercy and chose his own place of darkness and doom. The phrase chosen of John, and it was night, will stand for the loneliness and the separation that comes from choosing sin over salvation. That little phrase, and it was night, will stand for the loneliness and separation of sin. It will stand for the gloom and sorrow that settle down upon the soul that knowingly and finally rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. The night that knew no morning. Now, here in this story, we have the separation, a glowing picture of the separation brought on by sin. And I want us to look at that this morning. First of all, think with me how sin separates us from our friends. Think with me how sin separates us from our friends. I wonder when Judas left the supper that night, and when he went out of that upper room, I just wonder if maybe he didn't stop at the bottom of the stairs before completely shutting the door. And I wonder, as he stood there before shutting the door, did he listen to the voices of his friends upstairs? Did he think in his heart, I probably shouldn't do this? I wonder, did he think, it may not be wise what I'm about to do? Maybe I should go back. Did he pause for a moment and think, I really should not do what I'm intending to do? I don't know if he did or not. But one thing is for sure, folks, when Judas left that upper room and shut the door, Judas was alone. He was separated from everybody else. His job was now to follow Jesus and guide the soldiers and the Sanhedrin to the Savior. And when they came to Jesus and his disciples in the garden, it was Judas who guided the soldiers to know which man to arrest in the darkness. You know, I thought about that. Are we not all guides in some way or another? Guides to light or guides to darkness? But folks, picture the scene in your mind's eye. Picture the scene for just a moment. Can you see Judas hiding behind a wall, just waiting for Jesus and his disciples to pass by? It's night. He cannot recognize their faces, but he recognizes the voices of his friends. He can hear their laughter. He recognizes their singing. That is his company, his group of friends. It is with them he belongs, and he knows it. But for now, it is a night of separation and loneliness. They walk on as one. He stands back, separated from them. And folks, that's what sin always does. It always separates. Do you remember in the Bible when Cain sinned by killing his brother Abel? The Bible says, and he went out from the presence of the Lord. When Peter sinned on this same night, just a few hours after Judas betrayed the Lord, when Peter sinned and denied Jesus, the Bible says that he went out from the high priest's court and wept bitterly. Always, 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 sin leads us out. It leads us away from friends and away from loved ones, and always into loneliness and darkness. Folks, our world is filled today with lonely people who have been separated from friends and from family and from loved ones because of sin. They have built a wall, not of brick and mortar, but of sin. And that sin separates them from others, many times from those that love them the most. But then secondly, I want you to think with me how sin separates us from being our true and best self. Think about that for just a moment. How sin separates us from being our true and best self. You see, there are multitudes of folks who are living with a false and worse self than what they truly are. Because of sin, they are alienated from their true self. You remember the prodigal. He went out from his father's house and followed his false self into the far country, to the house of sinners and sin. And his sin stripped him of everything until he found himself sitting on the hog pen thinking, "Mercy, my father's servants have it better than what I have." And the Bible says that the prodigal came to himself. Oh, dear friend, listen, it's a great day when any man comes to himself and says, as did the prodigal, "I will arise and go to my father." That's a great day. It's a sad day when sin keeps a person from being the best he can be. I had a man come to me one time when I pastored down in West Virginia, and he came to see me, and he said, "Pastor, I have a problem." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "The Lord is calling me into the ministry." I said, "That's not a problem. That's a good thing." He said, "No, that's a problem." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I make a ton of money right now, and if I go into the ministry, I'm going to have to give all that up." And he walked out of my office with a dejected face, and you could just see that he knew that what he was doing by saying no to God was just eating at him. And within weeks, he quit coming to church. And within a year, his family had fallen apart. And it's just a mess. You've got to do what God wants you to do. You see, sin separates us from being what we ought to be for God. Then thirdly, I want you to think of how sin separates us from peace of mind. It separates us from peace of mind. In Lord Byron's great drama, simply entitled Cain, speaking of the Cain of the Bible, in that drama, now not in the Bible, but in that drama, when Cain and his wife are about to leave their home and wander to the land of Nod, away from the presence of the Lord, Ada, Cain's wife in the drama, Ada turns and looks at the fallen, at the body of fallen Abel, Cain's brother, whom he slew, remember? And when she turned, as they were getting ready to walk away and wander, she turned back to see Abel's body, and she said, "Peace be with him." And Cain, in the drama, turns to her in anger and says, "How about me?" And right there, the play ends. That's it. It's over, right? Just like that. Boom. Ended. And Lord Byron's suggestion is that Cain would never find peace for his soul. And that's what the Bible tells us. Cain never found peace. He wandered as a vagabond. And he says to God, "My punishment is more than I can bear." You see, that's what a life of sin does. It takes away the peace of mind. I spoke with a fellow recently, and I said, "How are you doing?" And he told me he's been ill, very ill. And I said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Pastor, it's just been horrible what I've had to deal with." He said, "But one thing I still have." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Everlasting life." "I still have everlasting life." I said, "Yes, you do, my friend. Nothing can take away my everlasting life." That's peace of mind, folks. Then lastly, I want you to notice that sin separates us from God. It separates us from our friends. It separates us from being our true and best self. It separates us from peace of mind. But then sin separates us from God. Everything that I have said thus far about the separating power of sin is summed up in this point. Sin separates us from God. And you know, that's exactly what the prophet said a long time ago. He said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." It's amazing, and you ought to do a study on this, how many times through the Bible there is a reference to God's face hiding from us. David talked about it. The prophets talked about it. Sin hides God's face from us. That was Cain's dreaded fear whenever he went out from the presence of the Lord. He said, "And from thy face shall I be hid." Cain did not want to be hid from God's face. He cried before the Lord and said, "Lord, don't hide your face from me." But God did, because of his sin. Turn over in your Bible for just a moment to the book of the Psalms. In Psalm 51 for just a moment. In this amazing psalm, David is repenting of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And in verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." So he's asking God for forgiveness. In verse 6, he said, or verse 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Then in verse 9, he says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence." Wow. You see, he felt like he couldn't talk to God because of the sin. He felt like, "I can't get a hold of God because of the sin. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Notice, he did not say, "Restore my salvation." He said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." He had lost the joy of his salvation because of his sin. Separated. Separated. You see, folks, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan came in and pointed a finger, and then David said, "Cast me not away from thy presence." That's the first thing sin does, is it makes you feel like you're away from God. You remember in the Garden of Eden, once Adam sinned, when he heard God coming in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve went and hid themselves in the garden. And God, being God, of course, knew where Adam was. There's no doubt about that. God is omniscient. He knew where Adam was. But God was a seeking Savior. Adam was a shrinking sinner. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" And finally, Adam spoke up and said, "Well, Lord, we're over here hiding." And God said, "Adam, why are you hiding from me? Did you disobey me? Did you do what I told you not? Did you sin against me?" And of course, you know Adam's response. He turned and said, "It's her fault." Right? You know that. He blamed Eve, which ultimately he was blaming God, because it was God who gave him Eve. And so he points his fingers at what me, Lord, it's her fault. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. Why would Adam not want to fellowship with God? Why was he hiding? Same reason that we don't want to fellowship with God. It's called sin. It's called sin. You see, it was sin that did this to our first parents in the garden. And it's done the same thing with everybody throughout history. You just read the Bible and you will see that every time sin is involved, the people were away from God. Every time, without exception. And it's interesting when you get into the book of the Revelation, on the other side of the church, and the church is in heaven, and we're in the tribulation period. You read when God's wrath and judgment begins to pour out upon this earth, that the guilty sinners during the tribulation will cry for the rocks to fall upon them and the mountains to hide them, ready, from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? And folks, all of us have sinned. And it is our sin that has separated us from God. Now, here's the wonderful news about all of this. You see, God, in his mercy, took the means to make a way for us sinners to be reconciled to him. God made a way. He did that through his Son. This same Lord Jesus that we're reading about here in John's gospel, the one who was betrayed by Judas, the one who was denied by Peter, the one who was crowned with thorns by the Roman government, the one that was crucified between two thieves on Calvary's cross, has built a bridge of reconciliation by which we can come back into fellowship with God. Paul said it this way: God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. To them that are afar off, he has made peace through the blood of his cross. Judas certainly had sin separate him from God. What a horrible tragedy this night was. Man, our Lord betrayed by Peter, or by Judas, denied by Peter, beaten and falsely interrogated for hours on end. And right there was Judas. And I'm sure he sat and listened as the silver coins clanged together, and he thought, wow, what a sweet sound that is. But then sin rose up and hit him. The guilt set in. How in the world can he live with himself for betraying the Son of God? He ran back to the Sanhedrin and threw the money across the floor. And the Bible says, and he went out and he hung himself. Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord Jesus would have none of us go out into the night. Our Savior said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You will remember that when Peter denied the Lord out on the patio of Caiaphas's house, he went and out and wept bitterly, and it was night, the Bible says. But the grace that Jesus offered him later was accepted. And Peter came back to the Lord, but Judas rejected that grace. And our text says, Judas went out and it was night. What a contrast. Peter comes back, Judas doesn't. And because there was no repentance to be found in his heart, Judas went out into a night that had no morning. My dear friend, which will it be with you? Will you choose light by choosing Christ, or will you choose darkness by rejecting Christ? Several years ago, when I was pastoring down in West Virginia, I got a call one night about 11:15 at night, if I remember right. It was late. And the guy on the other end of the phone said, "Is this the preacher?" And I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "You don't know me." He said, "But I've heard you on the radio. We had a 30-minute broadcast every morning on on an FM radio station every morning, and it was very, very well listened to." And he said, "We never met." He said, "But I hear you on the radio." And I said, "Well, what can I do for you?" You know, back years ago when the phone rang after 9 o'clock, you know, it was usually bad news, wasn't it? Yeah, you remember those days? And so I jumped to grab the phone real quick. And he said, "You don't know me," but he said, "I'm going to kill myself tonight." And I said, "Sir, you don't want to do that." And it was quiet on the other end. He said, "Why not?" And I said, "If you do that, you're going to start something you can't stop." Now, you could have heard a pin drop it was silent. And what seemed like several seconds. And I said, "Sir, are you there?" And he said, "Would you say that again?" I said, "If you take your life, you're going to start something you can't stop." Now, I don't know why I said that, other than the Lord gave it to me. Because that is exactly what he would have done had he taken his life. He was not saved. And if he had taken his life, he would have went from that car where he was sitting with a shotgun loaded and his shoe off and his sock off and the barrel up under his chin. He would have went from that car to hell immediately. And he would have never been able to reverse it. And I said to him, "You're going to start something that you cannot stop." Man, it got quiet. And after a few seconds, several seconds, I said, "Sir, are you there?" He said, "I never thought of it that way." I said, "Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" He said, "I think so." I said, "Where are you?" And he told me where he was. He was about 10 minutes in a little strip mall parking lot. And I got dressed and went down to where he was. And he was sitting in a little doodle bug, a little Volkswagen. Remember the little bugs? Well, he was sitting in one. It was summertime. They don't have air conditioning. And I walked over, and I don't know, I just, you know, it was a different era. I just got in the passenger's seat. Different time. I wouldn't have done that today. I got in the passenger seat, and the lights of the parking lot were shining down, and I could see he had a 12-gauge shotgun sitting there, had his shoe off, his right shoe off, his sock off, and the gun barrel right up to his chin. And we started talking. After about 2 hours, I finally got the gun away from him. And then after about another hour, I finally got to have him pray and receive Christ as his Savior. That was a long night. But it easily could have been a night without a morning. What about you, dear friend? What about you? Will your night have a morning? You see, Jesus wants to save you if you'll just let Him save you. If you'll just trust Him. If you know the Lord, your nights will always have a morning. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, one of these days, your night will have no morning. Think about that. Would you trust the Lord today?